Well, do keep that passage open in front of you, John chapter 8, beginning at verse 48, and let me pray for us as we come to God's word together. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who do you think you are? Have you ever had that question asked of you? Every time I hear that question, I can hear the voice of my old deputy headmaster. I can remember him standing on the stage, my whole year sat in front of him, and he bellowed at us, "Who do you think you are?" We had not been very good. Who do you think you are? There's even a TV show, isn't there, called that, where celebrities trace their family tree. I'm lucky enough to have family members who've done that whole homework thing for me. And that's how I know that my surname, Seago, entered the UK thanks to two sailors falling off the Spanish Armada and swimming ashore to Suffolk. And let me tell you, being descended from clumsy squatters does nothing for one's heraldic pedigree. Who do you think you are? This question is asked of Jesus, isn't it, in our passage this morning? And it's a question we've already begun to answer in our series in John's Gospel. We've seen that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one who provides for us food that satisfies forever. That food is himself, his own word. And we saw that in the All Age video as well, didn't we? And last week, if you remember, Christine talked to us about Jesus, the light of the world, and how we need to be plugged in to the mains. Here we learn more of Jesus' identity. He is greater than Abraham, which to us might not sound that remarkable or odd, but as we see at the end of our passage, that claim is enough for the mob to try and kill him. We join Jesus as he is yet again defending his identity, as if he were on trial. And the dialogue has gone back and forth in chapter 8. Jesus has told them they will be free if they believe. But we're not slaves, say the unbelievers. Yes, you are, says Jesus, because all are slaves to sin unless set free by the Son, who comes from the Father. But Abraham is our father, they reply. If he was, Jesus says, you'd believe me, but you don't. Your father is the devil, and like father, like son. That is where we've got to as we pick up from verse 48. Their physical heritage, yes, it is Abraham, but their spiritual heritage is the devil, the liar. And that is the problem. And it's worth stating very slowly and very clearly at this point that this passage has been used to fuel anti-Semitism in the world and in the church. And that is wicked. It is wrong. There is no place for it in God's church. If we don't think it's going on, or if we don't think it's a problem, then perhaps we need to wake up, because it is still going on. These people that Jesus speaks to are not children of the devil because they're Jewish, but because they are sinners who are relying on outward religion. They assume they're okay because of their heritage. It's like saying we're okay with God because our parents always went to church. Or perhaps it's like saying we should have the right to get our own way in church decisions because we've been here for years or we're good friends with the leadership team. The unbelievers are on a quest for glory, and Jesus threatens that quest, so they change tack. Verse 48. Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? That is meant to be a huge insult. It's a low blow. They are going after Jesus and claiming not only is he a Samaritan, which in those days was a dirty word, but also demon-possessed. In other words, you're mad. And that is what happens when people expose the idols that we cling on to. We bite back. We always try and justify ourselves or defend ourselves and seek our own glory. But Jesus is the opposite. He seeks the glory of the Father because he is the true Son. For life, they must listen to him. Whoever obeys my word will never see death. It's the flip side of what we saw in chapter 6, isn't it? Jesus nourishes us with real food of his own word. So to not partake of that word, to not listen to that word, means death. And so these unbelievers are unhappy because of this claim. Abraham and the prophets died, they cry. Are you greater than them? Who do you think you are? Well, who does Jesus think he is? Well, he is no less than the divine Son of God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, one God with the Father and the Spirit. It is no less than that. The work of the Son is to glorify the Father and vice versa. Verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Jesus' heritage outmatches his opponents. Physically, they are related to Abraham, and even if that counted for anything at all, Jesus would still outmatch them. It's nothing compared to Jesus, because spiritually, their heritage is Satan. They are not sons, they are slaves. And they refuse to accept that. Verse 55, though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. These unbelievers assume that their family heritage is secure because of their physical family tree. And they assume that Jesus is from the devil, that he is the enemy. But they couldn't be more wrong, because the very God that they claim to follow is stood in front of them in the person of Jesus Christ, the true Son. That is who Jesus thinks he is. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him. And you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. It's a huge claim. It's one that commentators call the most obvious statement of Jesus' divinity in John's gospel. Jesus is very clear who he thinks he is, echoing his own words to Moses in the burning bush, God speaks again. It's like how Hebrews begins. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. To be the bread of life, to be the light of the world, Jesus must be more than a man. He is, of course, fully a man, but is also fully God. And this isn't just who Jesus thinks he is. This is who Jesus is. No interpretation, fact. So how do the unbelievers react to this truth? They suppress it and exchange the truth for a lie. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, let's not brush past this, Not only are they so intolerant that they'd throw stones at a human being to silence them, they are so anti-God that they'd rather kill him than listen to him. Who do they think they are? Some might say. They think they're sons of God because they are physically sons of Abraham. Yet we know this isn't true. Spiritually, they are sons of Satan. They are slaves to sin. Remember, it's not because they're Jewish. It's because they're out for their own selfish glory, dressed in religious zeal. And nothing will stop them. Is that us? Who do we think we are this morning? Who do you think you are is not the most important question for the Christian. Not on its own, anyway. John Calvin notes that we can't separate the question of who we are from the question of who God is. Knowing God means knowing ourselves more. And knowing God means knowing Jesus, because Jesus is God. And as the divine Son, he reveals to us God the Father. That's how the Trinity works. We know God, Father, Son, and Spirit in and through Christ the Son. And that's the big theme in John's Gospel. Truth revealed through the Son. At the end of John's Gospel, John writes that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you may have life. Believe him and obey his word. Who do you think you are? Slave or child? Does Jesus get in the way of your religion? Where is your glory? Is it being a long-standing member of this church? Is it being on a particular rota? Or having responsibility for a particular ministry. Or perhaps it's something outside of church. It's your job. It's the fact you live in Poynton and you have done for many years. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your upbringing. Who do you think you are? Before Abraham was, Jesus is. There never was a time when Jesus wasn't. And he is the eternal, timeless God. So as we spend so much time watching the ticking clocks, the calendars, counting down the days to the end of restrictions, as we are obsessed with counting down these days, it's worth us reflecting on and opening our hearts to our timeless God. And there's something else too, isn't there? Belief is life. Life is marked by change, which is obedience to his word. Obedience does not give us life, because only Jesus does that in his obedient life and his atoning death. But obedience is a mark of life. The unbelievers lived like father, like son, and trouble was they imitate the devil. Not us. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus this morning, we are to obey his word, the Bible. All of it. Even the hard bits. Even the bits that will make people cross. And in everything, at all times, leaning on the everlasting arms of our timeless God. Knowing Jesus, who can and who will save us to the utmost. Who do you think you are?